then there was a statement that I thought was very beautiful that we can maybe just discuss a little bit. Righteousness by faith is the headline. And this person said, my wife and I have been reading through the great controversy lately, and I just realized that there is a constant thread of righteousness by faith that you can follow all the way from Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel through the Dark Ages, the Reformation, all the way down to today. This has been the most viciously attacked subject by Satan throughout every age.
Absolutely spot on. Righteousness by faith is contrary to the human nature. We do not want to acknowledge our helpless state. We want to be able to contribute to our salvation. But a dead person, as we said, cannot contribute anything. Yeah. Righteousness by faith is the third angel's message in verity. So yes, it says, do not accept the mark of the beast. Do not conform to his law, which is contrary to God's law, because righteousness is made manifest by obedience to God's commandments, right?
Yes.
Not as a means to salvation, no, but as a consequence of salvation. All our righteousness is filthy rags. And this beautiful truth that the God of heaven should condescend to come and take the place of a sinner dead in transgression, take the stripes that should be on me unto himself, pay that price, and then offer that eternal life back to me on the condition of righteousness by faith and faith alone, not by works, so that I cannot boast in anything but the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
That's the beauty of salvation. That's the biblical message, and that is a message that most of the world does not want to accept. And to my horror, the Protestant world has compromised that doctrine in the Joint Declaration of Justification. Because now, as you know, it reads that we are saved by grace alone and not faith alone.
Mm-hmm.
And by Christ's saving works and not by his atoning blood, and that Protestants should put their pen to paper is mind-boggling to me.
Righteousness by faith does not negate, like we've said before, keeping the law.
Correct.
Isn't there in Hebrews the whole story about Abraham that kept his faith, but also the Bible tells us that Abraham kept the commandments.
Okay, let's go to that verse. I think it's Genesis chapter 26. And it's verse 5. Where it says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes and my laws. So if Abraham was saved by faith alone, then what commandments and statutes and laws did he keep here? So his faith was made perfect by works, as Jude says. And if we go to the book of Hebrews.
And just before we go there, I just want to mention, this is before Sinai.
Oh, yes.
So it's not the same law that Moses gave to the Israelites.
No, no.
It is the same law, but it means it's been applicable before it was spoken.
Correct. We know that the law was there before, because when he took them out of Egypt, he said, I will test them whether they will walk according to my law or not. And the manna fell, as you know, in such a way that the Sabbath was made prominent again before.
Yes.
They came to Mount Sinai. Now, when we go to the book of Hebrews, and in the first chapter, it tells us exactly who Jesus is. It's a beautiful chapter. It's probably one of the most marvelously written chapters in the Bible. It has so much depth.
I think in a future episode, maybe you can work us through the book of Hebrews a little bit.
Maybe we should go through the book of Hebrews. But the first chapter tells us who Jesus is. The first chapter tells us that he is the creator, that he is the exalted Son of God. To which of the angels in verse 13 said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The exalted nature of the Son of God is brought out in chapter 1. We won't go into the details at this moment. And if we go to chapter 2, then it tells us about this great salvation. Verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation is the study of eternity, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. That's the disciples. They confirmed it. And if you go to verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So Jesus went through suffering because of us. Verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And then in verse 15 he brings us to Abraham. And he says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. In other words, he became fully human to identify himself with humanity and paid the price for humanity. Now, it's a sad thing that many modern translations pervert verse 16 and will say, surely it is not angels that he helps. But this translation here in the King James is so spot on. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And then when we go to the great chapter of faith, which is chapter 11, and we've spoken about this many, many times, and I've spoken about this many times, and I think you can preach unlimited sermons on the first verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I've always said that this is the most ridiculous verse in the Bible if you take it at face value.
Agreed.
But it is the most important verse in the Bible because verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. So if faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, then faith is something that by definition is not based on what you see.
No.
It's based on what you believe. Mm. I always use the example of a court of justice, and the judge calls the witness to the front and says, please tell us what you saw in this case, give us your witness. And the witness says, Your Honor, this is what I did not see. Then what would the judge say?
Sorry.
Excuse me, what are you doing here? You're wasting the court's time, right? And how can something that you hope for have substance? You cannot hope for something and that has substance at the same time, because substance implies that the thing that you are hoping for is really there, is a reality. You cannot hope to be driving a Ferrari and then have the substance at the same time. You cannot climb into the hope and put your foot down and feel the difference, right?
Correct.
No. So faith is something that is based on something that you know will happen, but it has not happened yet.
Mm. Didn't you also say that once we are in heaven, you won't need faith anymore because then you've got the substance?
So faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope for eternal life. And this hope must be so real that it actually has substance for you. It must be tangible. You must be living in that hope already. Yeah. And how do you attain to this hope? By faith. And where do you get it? From Christ.
Correct.
You have to appropriate his righteousness. And by faith you must assume that he has imparted it and imputed to it. And your friends will have to say, what happened to you? You're totally changed. I don't know you anymore. There must be a change.
The transformation.
Without the transformation, there's no evidence at all that you know Christ, right? For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, ex nihilo. He spoke and it stood fast. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, the scientific world has to believe it because the scientific world says the Big Bang
came out of nothing.
Came out of nothing. So they believe that and they ridicule those that believe what the Bible says when their own premise is as ridiculous.
It's actually also a faith.
It's a faith. It's not science, not at all. And they're trying to peddle it as science.
In fact.
I have no problem with science.
No.
But I have a problem with the philosophy of science. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And this is what this question pertains to. They've got Adam in there, they've got Eve, and they've got Cain and Abel in there. And the Bible clearly tells us that the sacrifice of Abel was more excellent than the sacrifice of Cain. Why?
Because of his heart and obedience.
And he was appropriating a righteousness which was outside of himself. He said, the lamb which I am offering is my substitute.
Yeah,
righteousness by faith.
He didn't rely on himself. He relied on an external source.
Exactly. And he was saved by the blood of that lamb. Mm. And what did Cain bring?
The works of his hands.
The works of his hands. And which one was more excellent?
Abel's was the correct one.
Okay. Now, in the world today, do we have these two religious systems side by side?
Yes.
And did you know that only Protestantism, only Protestantism, which is a fraction of the world's religions, a tiny little fraction, even within Christianity, it is a fraction, appropriates the righteousness of Christ as Abel did, and the rest of the world have a sacrifice of works.
Yes.
Which is a very sad thing, right?
Yes.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So here you have the whole question of death and resurrection, which is also negated by the world today.
Yes.
They say that when you die, you go directly to heaven. Mm. But here it clearly states that Enoch was translated alive to heaven. Everybody else dies and has to wait till the resurrection.
Yes.
The world doesn't believe that. So does it have the faith of Jesus?
Nope.
No, you have to believe what the Bible says in order to appropriate this faith. Because without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Righteousness by faith is the heart of salvation. Mm-hmm. And even within the ranks of believers, you have the battle between the way of Cain and the way of Abel. It will rage until the final moments of earth's history. Righteousness by faith is the heart of the third angel's message. By faith, Noah, we don't even have to go further than that. He built an ark, right?
Correct.
Does the world believe that today?
No.
No. Do they have faith?
No.
So without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do they please God by their evolutionary ideas and the denial of a universal flood?
No.
No.
Not at all.
And then this verse that you were referring to. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went.
So what did he do with his faith?
He acted upon it.
And obeyed.
And did he receive the promise there and then?
No.
No, he was a stranger and he sojourned among strangers.
Exactly.
And even when it came to a burial place, did he receive it as a gift or did he buy it?
He had to buy it.
He bought, it was offered to him as
yeah,
a gift.
But he said
but
no.
He bought it. He bought it. So none of these had received the promise. And we can carry on and say, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Not of the substance, but by faith they had the substance, even though they didn't actually feel it. For he looked for a city, and here's another point. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a city in heaven where mm-hmm. God is the architect and the builder?
Yes.
Is this according to the Bible?
Yes.
Does the book of Revelation tell us that there will be a new Jerusalem which will come down from heaven dressed like a bride?
Correct, the city of God.
Do people believe that?
No. They want an earthly kingdom.
They want an earthly kingdom. But we want a heavenly kingdom, right?
Yes.
So let's go back to that verse in John chapter 14. I mean, we've read it so many times, it's unbelievable. But this is the heart of the matter. And we must know this one off by heart. Let not your hearts be troubled.
Amen.
Ye believe. Now there's that little word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Believe. In God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Is this a real place or is this a ghostly place?
No, it's a real place.
Whose maker and?
Builder is God.
Is God. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. What is the way?
The truth and the life, Jesus.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. So righteousness by faith is the only way to appropriate salvation and to be heirs of the promise.
And out of your faith, your obedience flows.
One last verse. While it springs to mind, go to Isaiah chapter 58. Have you got it?
Yes.
And let's go to verse 13 and read verse 13 and 14, the last two verses of Isaiah 58. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important word. Then.
After all these things.
Shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What is the heritage of Jacob?
Eternal life.
That is the heritage of Jacob. And the promise was that he would inherit Canaan.
Yes.
And that was a typical Canaan. And here we're referring, of course, to the anti-typical Canaan. Mm-hmm. So another question. Does the Sabbath play a pivotal role in the faith question?
Yes.
Let's just recap. Did the world or does the world believe in the story of Noah as told in the Bible?
No.
No.
No, we actually saw it's a conspiracy.
Correct. So do they believe in the creation account?
No.
That's the very first statement in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that the world was framed, mm-hmm. right? You have to believe that. What's the symbol of that?
The Sabbath.
So if you keep the Sabbath, is that works or is that an acknowledgement mm-hmm. of a completed work that Christ has already performed in creation and redemption?
Exactly. That's an acknowledgement.
It's part of righteousness by faith.
You cannot separate it.
You cannot separate it. So may God give us wisdom as we separate salvation by works from salvation by faith. And as we look at the Sabbath as the great memorial of your faith in that creation and that redemption. May God give us wisdom. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, your book is so full of wisdom that needs to be tapped. And I pray that the Holy Spirit may enlighten our minds and minds of readers, that they may understand the depth and the length and the breadth of your word, which is unto salvation. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.